there's five chapters in the book of Lamentations, and the Hebrew is written so that each chapter is a separate song. Each chapter is a different song. There's five songs in the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. And listen, it's a book about a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of hurt going on. There's destruction. There's the devastation of the holy city of God, Jerusalem. And I wanted to share a little bit before I get into the scripture, because I think the history is important to set up the context of what we're talking about today. How many of you can take a passage of scripture right out of the middle of the Bible, but if you don't know before and after, how many of that can be a pretext? We need to stay in the context of the word today. And so I want to give you just a little bit of history before we get into this today. You may or may not know, but the Babylonians had invaded Jerusalem. The wrath of God was upon the city. And in scripture, it's probably one of the saddest books in the Bible because of the wrath of God upon that city. There's a prophet by the name of Jeremiah that writes the book of Lamentations, and he is in the Jerusalem area. He is there watching everything that's going on. He weeps over the destruction of Jerusalem. And he himself is subjected to all kinds of harm and devastation to him. It got really bad in that city during this time. In fact, this is the second time in the Word of God where the women were so desperate to eat that they ate their own children. And we read about it again earlier in 2 Kings when, remember the Samaritan attack? And there was no food, no water. And how many knows they were eating donkey's heads, and they were eating dumb guano, and they were eating each other's children. I mean, it was a bad situation. And the same thing is happening here in Lamentations. In fact, it says in Lamentations 2 and 20, should women eat their offspring, the children they have cared for and bounced on their knee? But it got so bad. And I'm going to tell you something. It all started because the people of God turned their back on what God was asking them to do. How many knows God had some commandments to follow? Remember those? Remember what they're called? The Ten Commandments? And if you'll follow those, I will bless you. If you disobey them, you're going to have these curses come upon you. Now, is God bringing this or did God allow it? Well, he gave forth the criteria for the blessings and the criteria for the cursings. And if you choose not to do the blessings and follow God, then it's evident that the other side of the coin is going to be what? Cursings and famines and all this other stuff. And so Leviticus chapter 26, God sets it in motion. He says, if you will follow me, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, I will do, I will bless you so much, you'll have rain, you'll have harvest, you'll have crops, you'll have houses, and he says, just all you have to do is follow me. Just do what my word says. It's called blessings for obedience. Say it with me. Blessings for obedience. About half of you didn't hear me. Let's try it one more time. Blessings for obedience. Okay. But it also goes on down and it starts about verse 14. And he says, but if you don't listen to me, Leviticus 26, 14, if you don't listen, if you don't obey, if you break my covenants, if you reject my decrees, if you're treating my regulations with contempt and refusing to obey my commands, how many knows the story, right? You know the outcome. Amen. Well, Brother Rhodes, we're in the New Testament, and we know that the Lord would never do anything like that today. You know what I do know? I do know that Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and not do the things I say? Why are you saying Jesus is Lord and you're not even obeying the basic principle of loving your neighbor as yourself? Woo, good preaching, Pastor. I haven't even started yet, but this is going to be good today. So Jeremiah, we're still in the history lesson. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He's known as the weeping prophet because he wept over the city of Jerusalem that was turned their back on God. Not only did he write the book of Lamentations, he also wrote, if you didn't know, the book of Jeremiah. But Lamentations is basically, it's basically a funeral chant over a doomed city called Jerusalem, the city of God. This is interesting. Tradition says that Jeremiah sat weeping outside Jerusalem's north wall under the knoll called Golgotha, where Christ would later die. So we could say that this is the wailing wall of the Bible. Now, if you don't know this passage of scripture that I'm getting ready to read, you might remember that there's a certain song that we sing sometimes, and you know, we're going to talk about this today. This is March 2nd, 2025, and I came to church this morning to share with you and tell you something that I believe God's put in my heart that God wants to deposit. Actually, I want to press it into your heart today. Amen. I'm feeling froggy, so I'm going to jump right into this right now. But I want to press that right into you today, that you'll not be able to escape this word, that no matter what you've done, sweetheart, God's mercies never fail and his compassions fail not. Can I hear a good amen today? Now, God's about to turn some things around. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. I said, God's about to make things get better. God's about to turn some things. I believe things. Everybody say this with me. Things are about to get better. Look at two or three people and say, things are about to get better. Anybody feel that? Amen. About three of you. Maybe we need to say it again. Things are about to get better. And if you believe that, you know, if you'll receive that this morning, if you'll believe it and receive it, you can have it. But if you doubt it, you can just do without it, okay? Okay, so I believe there's some people here that felt that this morning, and you're gonna jump on this today, you know. Now, some people say, how can you preach out of the book of Lamentations? It's exactly what its name says. It's a book of sorrow. It's a book of lamenting. It's a song of lament. And somebody once said that if you weren't depressed before you read the book of Lamentations, you sure will be by the time you get to the end of it. But you know what? There's something that's sandwiched right in there that we're going to pull out after a while, and we're going to begin to see what God did in the middle of all of that junk that was going on. Amen? The people refused to worship God. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and take over, and the Babylonians came in, and they took over the city of Jerusalem. They were killing people. They were deporting people. They were occupying the land. They had come in, and the Bible said they burnt down all the temples, and they killed all the priest. And so it's not a very pleasant picture, is it? It's not something that we're going to get up and shout about right now. And there's no place to worship him. Thousands and thousands are dead and exiled. And the not only did people lose their lives, they lost their homeland. Kind of what's going on in Ukraine. We're seeing the occupation of the Russians get a little more, and a little more. By the way, I dressed up this morning because I heard what Trump said the other day. If I'm going to go to the Oval Office, I better dress up. Well, how many of this place is better than the Oval Office? Now, I believe the house of God's more important than the Oval Office, so I thought I'd dress up, but now I'm going to ask you for about $3 or $4 billion. Are you willing to help me out? That's what Mark said this morning. Don't ask for $1 billion. Chapter 3, verse 49. Lamentations, chapter 3. Verse 49. When you found it, say amen. Amen. He starts out by saying, my tears flow endlessly. They will not stop until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees. My heart is breaking over the fate of all the women of Jerusalem. My enemies, whom I've never harmed, hunted me down like a bird. They threw me in the pit, and they dropped stones on me. The water rose over my head, and I cried out, this is the end. How many's ever thought that? This is the end. Come on, am I just talking to the TV screen this morning? Have you ever thought it can't get any worse? I doubt if anybody in here has been thrown in a pit and had stones thrown on top of you and then water poured on you until you was about to drown. But you've thought in times of your life that this is the end. It's over. What I did a terrible thing and it's all over now. But I love what Jeremiah says because he doesn't stop with this is the end. I need some more. Come on now. Come on. This is one of those exciting ones. Jeremiah says, in the midst of everything we've seen, I love this. I see how terrible it is, but I've got the audacity to remember some things about my God. I can remember what my Lord has said. How many knows every once in a while we're tempted to give up because we feel like we're at the end of the rope? We've gone as far as we can. We've given as much as we can give. We've built as much as we can build. We've remodeled as much as we can remodel. We've done all we can do. That sickness still in my body, the doctor's report hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. I still feel crummy. I still don't feel good. My bones still ache. I feel like I'm depressed because of everything that I'm going through. But I want you to remember something that Jeremiah said. I'm not done. I'm not finished. Basically, it's not over yet. Turn to your spouse and say, it's not over yet. Your spouse. It's not over yet. He's your son. That's not your spouse. Your spouse. It's not over yet. Okay, I didn't get to hear you because I was talking. One more time. It's not over yet. I'm waiting for something. Hey, I know you haven't seen your deliverance yet, but it's coming. I know the doctor's report hasn't changed, but it's better than it used to be. I know that it looks like you're going to stay in an unconscious condition, a coma, for months and months and months. But Becky, it's not over. It's not over. How many months? How many weeks?
2.5 months.
In a coma. She don't remember. Of course you don't remember. She was asleep. We remember. We remember those trips to the hospital. Just breathing on a machine. We just have to watch her, you know. But how many knows? It wasn't over. Hello? It's not over. I don't know what you're going through today, and maybe it's not a coma. Some of you look like you're in a coma, but I'm sure you're not. But maybe you've had some things, and you feel like, man, I'd probably rather be in a coma. I haven't seen my deliverance. I haven't seen my healing. I haven't seen. I know what the doctor has said, but I like Jeremiah's outlook. Wait for it. Wait for it. Things are about to change. Things are about to turn around. And I say to my dear friend down in San Antonio, Texas, things are about to turn around for you. Don't give up. Things are about to turn around. Hallelujah. Somebody say, it's about to get better. Hallelujah. So we better read that verse of scripture before I get lost in here. Lamentations 3:19. Here's what he says. Lamentations 3:19. I will never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. I mean, those are some things that's just kind of locked in your memory, right? Never forget how she treated you, how he treated you, what they said about you. And oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one other thing I remember. Is that up there? Look at this. Oh, yeah, I'll never forget the utter lostness of taste, of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. Oh, how well I remember hitting the bottom. But there's one other thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. It's not over. Things are about to change. I just need somebody here to believe that things are about to change. I'm not trying to hype you up. I want you to believe with your heart things are about to change. Because, honey, if you don't believe it, I can scream till I'm red in the face, and it's not going to help anything. Amen. You got to believe in your heart. Amen. Jeremiah said, oh, I remember. I remember. There's one other thing I remember, and I keep a grip on hope. God's, here we go, here's what he remembers. I remember God's loyal love. Dwayne started, you start out with that song this morning, the Lord's loving kindnesses, his compassions fail not. He gets up and says something about the mercy and the compassions of God. And I'm going to get up here and say God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? I'm sticking with God, and I say it over and over. He's all that I have left. Y'all see that this morning? That ought to make an Egyptian mummy get up and shout hallelujah. Some of you need to realize this morning. This is good news today. Yes, Jeremiah said it. He was in the middle. You're not in that pit. You're not in that hole. You've not been stoned. Maybe you feel like you've been hurt. But listen, you've not been where he is. And he still says, I'll never forget the mercy and the love of God because it is still new and fresh every morning. Woo! Okay, I got a good Baptist sermon for you this morning. 3 points. That's what the Baptists do, right? They 3 points in a poem. Okay, so I don't have a poem, but I'm going to give you 3 points this morning that's going to help you understand why it's about to get better. Number one, it's about to get better because it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. I pray somebody just felt that in your heart. I believe your heart just jumped on the inside of you. You feel that. Amen. Jeremiah looks back at everything he's been through. He looks back at all the evil they've experienced, the destruction he's been through, the horrible Babylonian rapes and murders and kidnappings and all of that stuff. But he says, the only reason I'm still standing today is because of the mercy of God. I have to stand up here today as your pastor for almost 50 years and say, it's because of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. It's the Lord's mercies that I'm still able to stand up here from the age of 26 and stand up here and say, God is good and his mercies are new every morning. If they weren't, I'd have been gone a long time ago. Now, don't look at me so holy, because same thing for you too, okay? I'm just the one that's preaching today. My degree didn't get me here. My money didn't get me here. My good looks didn't get me here. Amen? That deserves a good amen. The right relationships didn't get me here. I know that I'm here by the mercies of God. I'm here because his compassion never, never fails. Anybody know anything about the mercy of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think the scripture says, had it not been for the Lord who is on my side, I would have fallen a long time ago, amen? Had it not been for the Lord, I don't know what I'd be doing today. I may still be selling vacuum cleaners. Isn't that horrible? I may still be selling potholders and barbecue hand mitts. I don't know. Well, I don't know where I'd be today if it hadn't been for the Lord. For the Lord's mercies, they are new. They are new every morning. I'm not consumed. Hey, folks, I'm here. I'm not consumed. We're still here today because of the Lord's mercies. You Baptists getting anything out of this today? Okay. You Catholics getting anything out of this? Okay. Okay, so my note says, God did not wake you up today to simply repeat the struggles of yesterday. Is that a good one? God did not wake you up today to simply repeat the struggles of yesterday. They are new every morning. Get that in our brain. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. He doesn't skip Saturdays and Sundays. They are new every morning. Brother Rhodes, you ain't going to move me today. You can scream and shout all you want, but I ain't moving. Well, that's all right. You just sit there. You lump on the log. I'm going to preach to those going to shout with me. Amen. Amen. God didn't bless you with Sunday so that you can live in the same struggles of Saturday. Huh? Whenever God wakes you up with a new day, you got enough good sense to know it was his mercy that woke you up. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. Amen. Amen. Today's going to be better than yesterday. Amen. And tomorrow's going to be better than today. Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Can you not see it? This is the NIV. I am making a way in the wilderness and a streams in the wasteland. How many knows that song we sang, Dwayne? He turns graves into gardens. He makes the path, you know, let's NLT. For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. He started before I ever started preaching this morning. When you woke up this morning, his mercies were brand new. You're not just now learning about that, are you? I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wastelands. I don't know what kind of dry wastelands you've been going through, but God's going to create some water in the dry wastelands. I've got about five more versions of that I'm going to read, that I'm supposed to read, but I'm going to skip them. Thank you, Brother Blake. We're going to skip those this morning, and we're going to go on and the 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Dear friends, 1 John 3, 2, NLT. Dear friends, we are already God's children. If you're not a child of God when you die, you may as well forget it, Jack. Come on. Nobody going to pray you out of hell. Come on. I might have just stepped on some people's foot this morning, but there's nobody going to pray you out of hell. If you ain't born again when you die, you ain't born again later. Okay. Where am I at? I got so excited. Oh, 1 John 3 and 2. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Say it with me. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Consumed. The Hebrew word. You're going to find this interesting. The Hebrew word is T-A-M-A-M. We are not consumed. You know what that means in the Hebrew? Finished. All gone. All spent. Come to an end. Destroyed. It's because of his mercies that I am not destroyed or come to an end or all gone or all spent. Because of the Lord's mercy, it ain't over yet. Amen. I know that's not good English, but I did live in Arkansas for a while. It ain't over yet. The story's not over. How's that song go, Dwayne? Something about the chapter's not over, the story's not over, something like that in that song somewhere. Help me out, Dwayne. The story's never over. Okay, it don't matter. I know it's what it says. In the Father's house, yes. The last chapter has not been read. That sickness that you're going through right now, it's not over. It's not the end. His compassions, we are not consumed. Taman. Finished, all gone, all spent, or come to an end. He said, Brother Otis, how do you know it's going to be here tomorrow? Because it says every morning it comes back. Every morning it comes back. Amen? Amen. Pardon me while I sip. Please don't ever spike that, because if you ever spike that, I will really do some good preaching. Your struggle is not the last chapter. All right? Your struggle is not the last chapter. Number two, I said the first one, that we're not consumed because it's the Lord's mercies. We're not every day. And then number two, I've lost it. Help me. Number two. I lost it. Number two. There it is. Thank you. I was waiting for that. It's about to get better because his compassions fail not. Amen. His compassions fail not. Say it with me. His compassions fail not. Let's everybody try it together. One, two, three, class. His compassions fail not. Now, Jeremiah is not sticking his head in the sand. He's not saying that it's not being destroyed. He just knows it's not over. He knows there's an outcome. You know why? Because he's read some of the other books of the Bible. I'm sure he's read or knows some of the other parts of the Bible. So he knows that it's the Lord's compassions that it's not over. It's just a season. We all go through these seasons. Amen? Israel's about as low as it can be. Some of you might feel this morning like you're about as low as you can be, and you think it's over, huh? You think it's over. My job's over. My marriage is over. My kids are gone. There's no hope. Listen. It's because of the Lord's compassions that we fail not, and his mercies are new every morning. Now, here's another thought about this. They not only, the people of Jerusalem and the children of Israel did not only disobey God, but they enjoyed it. They enjoyed their season of pleasure. Maybe they did deserve to die, but Jeremiah found out that the Lord's compassions never fail no matter how low we sink.
Amen. That's good. That's right.
His compassions never fail no matter how low we sink. That is so good. Don't ever let the devil make you think that God's given up on you. Don't ever listen to that lie that somewhere along the way God got fed up with you and just marked you off of his list. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I've come all the way from Turley Mill Road to tell you this morning. I know it's a long ways. When I say that in Georgia, it means something, but here it don't mean a whole lot. But I've come all the way from Turley Mill Road to tell you today that his compassions fail not. You know what that means? They never run out. They never run out. He never says it's over. He never says that's enough. Amen? You may have, you think you might come to the edge of God's patience, but it don't run out. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Amen? You've never got to the place where God says, I'm done with you. That's the final straw. Isn't that good news? Some of you ought to be thankful for that, the way you've acted this last week. Amen? I'll tell you something else. You ought to be glad that God's God and not me, because I have my limits. I can only take so much. You know, I am not God. I'm human. No matter how much I love you, I have a limit. I'm not God. I don't love you with that everlasting love. I love you, but listen, honey, no matter how good you make me feel, we'll draw a line in the sand somewhere along the way. Amen? And you violate those boundaries, I'm done. Remember the song we used to sing? Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the beauty of our King. Oh, well, anyway, that song used to bother me because you can love me with the love of the Lord, but can you love me with yourself? Can you love me with your heart and your soul and your mind? How many know some people are hard to love? But how many knows God loves us all? Amen? God's never given up on us. Amen. As I get older, I realize there's some things that are more important now than when I was a child. And, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't care about my credit score, did you? When you was a teenager, did you care about your credit score? But, you know, when I was 14 years old, I wanted to buy a new guitar, Brother Roy, and an amplifier, and it was a Fender Jaguar. It's worth over $10,000 today, but I don't have it. I wish I did. I'd probably sell it if I had it. But that's a $500. He said, "Let me take you to the bank, son, and I'll co-sign you for this note for $500 because you need to get your credit established." Now, I look back now and think, that's kind of young, you know, to put all that responsibility on somebody. But, you know, it's one thing because, you know, when I came to this church and I came in 76, but can we get rid of that for just a minute, please? When I came to church in 76, well, in 1978, we built a new building, and I needed $75,000 to do the work. So I went down to the bank, and the bank said, "You can't borrow that much money. You're not good for $75,000." Well, I found out that you know, sometimes your credit score does matter. Can I get a good amen?
Amen?
Where's Brother Slope at today? I need his amen. Is he home? Is he home sleeping? Brother Slope, listen to this: the banks wouldn't loan me the money. 1978. I needed $75,000. They would only loan me about $40,000, so I called my granddad in California. I said, "Grandpa Harley, I know you're rich. Can you loan your grandson some money? I need about $35,000. Well, he did. He loaned me the money, and I was able to pay it back to him to build that new church. But, you know, somebody said that that your credit score is your adult report card. Huh? You need to be serious about your credit report. You know, how many knows you can mess up your credit report with a repossession, bankruptcy, being late on a payment. You can mess up your credit score. And thank God, Darlene and I have a great credit score. We're way up over 800. But you know what? There's only 22% of Americans have an 800 or higher credit score. So I learned a long time ago to work on the credit and have a good credit score. Not because I want to go in debt all the time, but if I ever had any needed an emergency fund, I would be I'd be well taken care of. Okay, so it's the grade about how good you are about being responsible. And sometimes young married couples have a hard time because they have a credit card in their hand. It's easy for them to go out and charge a lot and just get overboard and find out they've charged more than they're able to make the payments for. And there's times that the credit score has dropped. The best way to do it is pay it off every month. Amen? Now, I'm not Dave Ramsey, and this is not Financial Peace University this morning. We've been through that about three times. But I've got a couple credit cards, and I think you've already seen them. One is an American Express Platinum card, and it is metal, and it's not a plastic card. But I also have this Visa card that I have to make charges. And somebody said, well, what's the difference in the American Express card and the Visa? Well, first of all, the American Express costs a lot more than the Visa. But here's the thing. With the you try to pay them off every month. You try to pay them off. But what's the difference in the Amex and the Visa or the MasterCard or the other one, whatever the other one is? What's the difference in those credit cards? How many knows that the Visa card has a limit? It has a limit. You can only go so far with it. But you know what this card does? This card has no limit. Do you know that I can go to a car dealer tomorrow and buy an automobile with this credit card? It has no limit. Now, the only thing is, this credit card lets you make monthly payments. But this credit card, you've got to pay at the end of every 30 days. You better pay it off, or you're not qualified to have their card. And so there's a big difference. But listen, I'm not talking about credit scores. I'm not talking about credit cards this morning. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the compassion of the Lord that has no limits. I said the compassion of the Lord has no limits. You cannot overspend the compassions and the mercy of God. Somebody give me a good amen today. I'm talking about the compassion of God. There's no limit on God will never run out of compassion for you. Now that ought to make some of you get up and dance, because that is an awesome testimony. That's an awesome word today, that God will never allow his compassions to run out on you. Wow. Let that sink in. That means he loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. He loves you when you're angry. He loves you when you go to church every Sunday. He also loves you if you only come to church once a month. And somebody better say thank God for that one. God will take all of your sins. He'll take all of your faults, all of your mistakes. And how many knows, like American Express, he can handle all of it. He can take care of all of it. And you know what? You could never repay. You could never repay the mercy and the compassion of God. But let me tell you what we can do. Let me tell you what we can do. We can extend what he's given to us to others. Did you get that? That unfailing love, we can extend that to others. Those compassions, we can be a little bit nicer to people. Hello? Man, now it's getting quiet. You shouted a while ago, but now it's really getting quiet in here. We can extend that kindness to other people that God's extended to us. Why do we have to have a limit? Because we're human, and we can only go so far. But at least we can start, can't we? Amen? God can take all your sins. He can handle all of it. You know why? Because on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. You know why? Because Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. His sins left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. There's no limit because God has paid it all and his compassions fail not. Hallelujah. Now, I hope you're not clapping because you think I was almost done. I got to give you another word this morning. This word's going to blow your mind, okay? His compassion fails not. Brother Rhodes, what is compassion? Well, let me first of all give you the Greek word for compassion. It's R-A-C-H-A-N. R-A-C-H-A-N. Now, I'm going to read this to you because this is straight out of the commentary. The Hebrew. The term rakam is related to the Hebrew word for womb. Listen. Suggesting a nurturing, protective, and life-giving love. This imagery reflects the intimate and caring nature of God's relationship with his people, as well as the expectation that his followers would exhibit similar compassion toward others. Somebody said, that's good. The womb is where the child is isolated, not simply to be protected, but to be nurtured by its mother to full development, so when it comes out, be ready to face the world and come into the world developed and strong. And strong. Did y'all hear that? You want me to say it again, just in case you didn't hear that? Well, I'm not going to. You can buy the tape, okay? We are isolated. Listen, the womb is a place of isolation with our mother that we might be nurtured and developed so that when we come out of this thing, listen, when we come through this thing, everybody say through. When we come through this thing, we'll be strong enough to face whatever's thrown our way. Oh my God, that's good preaching. You don't have to say it. I'll just say it. Amen. Oh, the revelation is so alive on the inside of me. So Jeremiah sees everything that's going on. Amen. He sees it all going on. And God's got us closed up in mama's womb so that she can nurture us and feed us and we can get developed so that when we're born, we're able to face this old cold world. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The baby in the womb has a much nicer home than you get when you're born. It's cold. It's wet. Got all these old people rubbing on you and poking you and sticking you and stamping your feet and all that stuff. When you're in mama's womb, everything's nice and safe and warm and cozy. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. If we don't learn to grow in the calamity, we have missed the lesson. Because we're all going to have those times of our life that's going to be struggling. And if we don't grow during those times of struggling, we've missed the lesson. Amen. Now, I'm going to go one step further and blow your mind this morning, okay? Stay with me. I've done some studying, so I'm excited about this. This is going to blow your mind. In the Hebrew, and you, if you don't believe me, just call Josh Pennington and ask Josh Pennington. He should agree with me. He's a scholar, but I'm not. But in the Hebrew, there are different genders for nouns, okay? The word womb that Jeremiah uses is masculine. Oh, my gosh, Brother Rhodes, this is getting deep in here. Oh, I don't know how we're going to get through this. How can a womb be masculine? So I wrote this down. God says, I've taken something that should not be made and made into something that no one thought it ever could be. That's the miracle of you coming through that thing that God's bringing you through, is because he nurtured you, he protected you, he kept you during this whole trial and this whole test, he kept you embraced in his womb, so to speak, so that when you come out of this thing, you will be strong and stronger than ever before. Y'all get that this morning? It's not the masculine womb. It's the significance of knowing what that womb does for us. And God's got us wrapped. God's got us covered. God's got us protected. He said, I'll see you through those situations no matter what comes your way. And I know some of you right now looking at your Bible trying to prove me wrong, but that's all right. You look at it and you can just prove me wrong. I'm right. Keep looking at your... How do you know it's getting better? How do we know it's getting better? Because we survived. How do we know it's getting better? You know that job you got? You weren't even qualified. Your resume didn't even make you look good enough to get that job. But you know what? Somehow you got that job. God gave you that job. You know how I know it was God? Because you came through the shipwreck, you came through the storm, you came through the serpent, you came through all the trials and tests and got all wet, but you're still standing today. You've come through the smoke, you come through the battle, you come through the fight, you was able to stand during that fight, and you're still standing today. God's got this, things are about to turn around. Amen. Hallelujah. It's about to get better. It's about to get better again because God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. God is faithful. He's the same God that stepped out into nothing and created the world that we're living in today. He's the same God that made a pile of dirt and breathed into it the breath of life, and we are still breathing today because of Him. He's the same God that made a path through the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground, and the Egyptians followed and got drowned right behind them. That's something that only God, it's the same God that caused the walls of Jericho to fall down because they obeyed the instructions to walk around seven times every day, and then on the seventh day walk around seven times. Because they obeyed, the walls fell. If they'd only walked six times on the seventh day, what would have happened? You see, God takes this thing pretty serious about obeying Him, doesn't He? God wants us to obey Him. There's blessings in obedience. My dad taught me a long time ago, Luke, that there's rewards for obedience, but there's also pain for disobedience. That pain wasn't just because He said no. The pain was because when He pulled that belt out, you could hear it every loop that it was going through. You could hear it pop, 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 all the way out. He taught me that disobedience equals pain. I want the worship team to come on up here, if you would, please. Can we just all stand? Y'all have been sitting a little while this morning. Let's just stand up. Please don't move in around. Let's not take this as a time to walk out. I want you to just remain calm for just a minute, and the team's going to come up here. By the way, I so appreciate our worship team. Amen. So appreciate our worship team. They're here at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning rehearsing. They're here this afternoon rehearsing. They'll be back next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock rehearsing, and probably rehearsing sometime during the week. I want to talk to you today just about somebody else. Because there's somebody else that needs to hear how great He is. And that's Almighty God. He don't need to be reminded, but He needs to hear you say, thank you, God, for helping me through that trial. Thank you, Father, for getting me through that situation. God's not on an ego trip. He doesn't need your praise. He doesn't need it, but He's asked us, would you praise me? Would you worship me? Would you be thankful? I think about Zelensky in the Oval Office, and I'm thinking, dear God, can you not at least say thank you for the billions that you did give me? I'm not trying to be political, but I do think we need to be courteous. Yes. And I do think that we need to live a life of praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done for us. Amen? And so, let's not forget that during all this time of rejoicing that we're going to get to the other side, even though there's a storm. By the way, here's a revelation, Luke, you might like. We talked about this the other day, but then I got to thinking about it. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, right? Didn't you say that last week or a couple weeks ago? Let's go to the other side. And they got out in the middle of it, and there was a storm. And the disciples got all full of fear. And they looked for Jesus, and Jesus was asleep. Now, some translation says he was asleep in the front of the boat. Do you know what? You know the front of the boat's the first one that goes under? It's the first part of the ship that goes down. And he was asleep. I know some say hinder, but just look it up and study it and see which one is more familiar or which one is more closer to the Greek. But it says if he was asleep in the front, that's the first part that goes down. And it didn't bother him at all, did it? He just wrapped up in a sleeping blanket and went to sleep. And so, learn to rest in the Lord. Turn it over to him this morning. I know you did a moment ago when we asked everybody to just release everything and give it over to God. But I need you to walk out of this place today and not pick it back up. On the way home, don't let something distract you and you pick it back up. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave your burdens at the altar and leave them there. So let's just not forget to tell God how good he is, how faithful he is, how loving he is, how forgiving he is. Don't forget to live a life of praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Tomorrow morning when you get up, before you roll out of bed, just say, Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you. I remember my affliction, my wandering. I well remember them. My soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great compassions, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Instead of talking about how bad everything is, let's talk about the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. Amen. If you guys could lead us in a song this morning, and I want us to just focus on the compassions and the mercy and the loving kindness of God and what that can do to turn our lives around. We're all going to still face challenges. Listen, just because the mercies and the compassion's there doesn't mean we're not going to face challenges. That's what's going to get us through the challenges. Amen. Amen. Be reminded, even in your circumstances, great is thy faithfulness.